Take your Bibles, go to John in the New Testament. Go to the Gospel of John and the 21st chapter. Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
Why don't we all stand? Figure out where everybody's going and then jump in front of them. Amen. Well, I was glad there were no torches and lanterns and we didn't blow the place up. I pulled in at 5:30, but I stayed on the edge of the property. And if I saw torches and lanterns, I was going to bail on my friend. I was going to leave him alone quickly and go back to Georgia. They stab you in the back in Georgia. At least you don't see it coming. Tennessee hillbillies are a little meaner than them Georgia folk. Hadn't the Lord been really good to us?
Amen.
I bless his name. I love that scripture says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's like the ointment upon the head ran down upon the beard, even the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, Mount Hermon. Ooh, bless the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hadn't he been so good to us? In John 21, find the verse that says, I think it's verse number 6. And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Y'all can be seated. Lord, thank you for Calvary. How you gave us your Son. Lord, thank you for Pentecost and how you gave us your Spirit. Thank you for the apostles and prophets and how you gave us your Scripture. And Lord, thank you for that trumpet's going to sound one day.
Amen.
And put us in another world. Lord, we'll thank you tonight. Breathe on thy servant for a little while and we'll love you. In Jesus' name, all the Lord's people said.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. My heart's full tonight and I don't know where to go with it, but my heart is full. And I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us and helped us. Do y'all understand that if you live out your 70 years plus 10, that's 80, give or take somewhere in there, do you understand that you and I are fixing to go into 1,000 years of a glorious reign with Christ in a glorified body? Hallelujah. The only way you could have depression is if you're listening to country music and watching CNN. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm against all country music, but when Walmart is playing George Jones, I walk real slow. I try not to be partaker of other men's sins, but if he's a hanging that black wreath, I go buy 3 of them. I'm in John 21. I'm glad the Lord's coming back, aren't you? Thank the Lord. Now the Lord's given me this scripture a few days ago and the Lord's had me share it in a few places. John 21 verse 6, if you're keeping notes, write this down. Jesus knows. And we'll write several things down underneath that. Some people like to take notes. Sometimes I take notes and sometimes I sit there and pray and let God speak to me. And he can make notes in your heart, you know it. And sometimes I need to go study what was preached later, but sometimes God's studying me right then. But the Lord's give us this. Jesus knows. Now let me read, now that I got you seated, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Can we stop and say, I'm glad the Lord knows how to show up again and again and again in our lives and show himself. And on this wise showed he himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. I think there were seven men. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. I don't know. You people of God, y'all have, the faithful folks, some of y'all been studying the Bible a long time. I don't know if he was quitting. You know, I've heard it preached that he was just quit. It was such a confusing time, such a transition time, that he just quit and went back to his trade. I don't know. He may have just went fishing for a day. I'm not sure. But Simon Peter, they all went with him. Half of them did. There were 12 disciples. Of course, I guess Judas is off the scene at this point, I think, maybe. And six of them go with him. There's Simon Peter. I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And that's when we come to our text. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting? And I don't want to run a rabbit unless it's got meat on it. But John and Peter, how they worked together their whole ministry. That's amazing. John got to the tomb first, but waited for Peter to go in. And why did John tell Peter? He told Peter, that's the Lord. Their personality, temperament, type seemed to stick out here. And Simon Peter, you probably love to hate him and hate to love him. You know, he was probably a real character to live with. You remember that time that Jesus said, all of you are going to forsake me. And he said, well, these guys, I can see them doing that, but I never will. Don't you know all 11 of them just went? And then walking on the water and then drowning, you know. Let's build three tabernacles. When the two sons of thunder are behind a tree, nearly passed out, maybe just be quiet. That's good to be here. That's how we know Simon Peter was a Baptist preacher. He opened. You got the Lord in all his glory. You got Moses and Elijah. For the young people. The two big bad boys from the OT. And Peter interrupts everybody. All right, good to be here. Working on some blueprints. Our first business meeting in the Bible. And when God from above has to stick his head in a cloud and say, be quiet, listen to the Lord, you might be talking too much. Peter had a big mouth, but the Lord wanted it. The Lord created it. And that same mouth that cursed, turn your Bible two pages and that same mouth is preaching on Pentecost. Y'all do know that wherever your strength is, therein lies your weakness. His mouth was his strength. His mouth was his weakness. We better get full of the Holy Ghost so God can use us the way he wants to. Or the devil will use us. There they are, and John has to tell him it's the Lord. John was always figuring things out first. He's the only one that showed up at the cross. But here we come in this text, and I want you to write a few things down or either listen with your heart. Number one, I want to say in this text here that Jesus knows where the fish are. Verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. He knows where the fish are. Somebody said Simon Peter knew how to fish, but Jesus knew the fish. They didn't know it was the Lord yet. How many times a preacher has had to hear from the Lord? I know you've worked all night and toiled and caught nothing. But come over here and do it right here.
Right.
How many children of God in their life? Just cast the net on the right side and you're going to find. He knows where the fish are. Several little thoughts I have right there. I don't know if they need to be preached or not. Let's talk about fish for a minute. He sure knew where Jonah's whale was, didn't he? He knows where the fish are. Let me tell you, I promised every child of God, you can jump the ship, you can run from God, but there will be a whale waiting on you. I need a little help. If you're without chastisement, you're a bastard and not a son. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God is a good father. He doesn't spoil his children. He's faithful to discipline. And I bless the Lord for discipline. Hebrews 12, go home and read about it. Afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. One old preacher said, you're never closer to the Father when you're in his hand and his breath is on you and he's taking that cluster of grapes in the vine and he's snipping on them. Never so close when he's working on you. Jonah's whale. He knows where the fish are. What about when Jesus and his disciples, it was time to pay taxes? I wish that scripture wasn't in the Bible. I'd try to cheat the IRS. Turns out we found out what they've been doing with all of our money. Don't get me started. I'll go full Charles Lawson on you. Without any information, but I'll just go for it. I love when he preaches and teaches on these things. But it was time to pay taxes. And for all of your charismatic prosperity teachers and preachers, I want to say that they need to go look at that chapter in Matthew 17. There wasn't one coin amongst Jesus or his preachers. Not one. And so Jesus said, just go cast the hook in the sea. And he brought a little fish in there and he pulled it up and it had a coin in its mouth. He knows where the fish are. Can I tell you, the Lord knows how to pay the bills. He knows how to pay the bills. You honor God with your tithe and your offerings. You may have different ways of looking at it. I had a man come to me and he said, I don't believe in the tithe. That's Old Testament. I said, well, I'm not going to fuss with you, but I'm so thankful. I've got a New Testament giver. Been waiting on one of them a long time. He had just retired from a city of 300,000 and he ran the city and he had a sizable pension. I said, I'm so glad I finally got a New Testament giver. He looked a little confused. I said, in the book of Acts, we got out of the Old Testament, got out of the law. They sold all they had and came and laid it at their preacher's feet. And I was a little ornery, Brother Lawson. I put both my feet up on the desk. I did. It was a Monday. Don't confront a preacher on a Monday. He's praying for you on Saturday. He's thinking about asking God to kill you on Monday, okay? Man came in there on a Monday. That was the first clue. He'd never been around real preachers. I put both my feet up on the desk. I said, I'll be waiting right here. Turned out he wasn't an either Testament giver. He wasn't even in the book of maps. Hallelujah. Adrian Rogers, boy, that was a good old Southern Baptist preacher. He said, it's not wrong for you to have money, but it's wrong for money to have you. And the Lord. The church is probably better off when they said, silver and gold have I none. But here's what we got. In the name of Jesus, let's see God change your life. Amen. Better be if a Christian has money or if a church has money, you better obey the Lord with it. Better do something holy with it. Better do something with it too. That coin. I had an old evangelist when I was a young man pastoring, Brother Lawson. He said to me, he said, the Lord will pay the bills. He said, old John the Beloved showed up at the cross and stood there with them women. He said, it's a picture of a faithful preacher taking care of the Lord's bride at the foot of Calvary. He said, just show up at the cross and take care of the church. God will send a couple of men with money to pay all the bills. Here came Joseph of Arimathea. I've got a place for his body. Here came Nicodemus. Woo! The same one that came by night was now coming by day. The same one that hid from Jerusalem and whispered questions at midnight now shows up on top of a hill where they killed the criminals and brought 100 pounds. Hallelujah. He knows where the fish are. It's an interesting little note. How many fish did they catch? 153. Lucas, find out what verse that's in. That's somewhere in there. If you're going to be ordained, you got to find this verse in the next 10 seconds or you failed your first examination. Y'all quit helping him out. Okay. That don't count. I'm not sure you said it first. Verse 11 is 153. Now here's Simon Peter. I got to hear Ed Velo from Macon, Georgia. Got that beautiful little book on biblical mathematics. Old Bob Gray in Florida used to love to bring him in. And I got to hear Ed Velo. He had over 3,000 members. I don't think they all came at one time, but on his church roster in Macon, Georgia. He had such a mind. He had every address memorized and every phone number memorized. I don't know my own social security number. Of course, I'm mad at them too. But I heard him preach on this. Ed Velo said, there's Simon Peter. That chief apostle had the keys around his neck. Of course, Dr. John Phillips taught us that in Acts 2, he opened the gospel for the Jew. In Acts 10, he opened it for the Gentile. But I heard Ed Velo say that there's Simon Peter, and he cast that net out after the resurrection and drew what? How many, Lucas? 153 great fishes. Ed Velo said when they formed the United Nations, the League of Nations, after one of the world wars, ask him which one. He said when they formed that League of Nations, United Nations, he said there was 153 nations in its formation. There's the chief apostle throwing out the gospel net and got 153 great fishes. Ooh wee. Well, I thought that made y'all a little happier. Nobody enjoyed that. You can turn your page to Acts 2 and guess how many when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Guess how many nations are listed. Now, Acts 2, and I think it's verse 4, 17. That's exactly right. And I think it's verse 4 or 5 says that every nation under heaven was represented that day. Now, Ed Velo and others studying them Bible numbers will tell you that 9 is the number of the Holy Ghost. 9 things listed in the fruit of the Spirit. 9 things lifted in the gifts of the Spirit.
And guess what? When you get them 17 nations and the Holy Ghost, 9 times 17, 153. That's the only study notes I'm leaving with him now. Now y'all know everything I know. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? And I'll tell you this, a church that has lost its heartbeat and burden to spread the gospel to the heathen, you've lost something precious. You lost something vital. You lost something that's central to the heart of God. Our youth groups ought to be full of the Holy Ghost, ought to be turning out preachers and servants, ought to be turning out little missionaries and little prayer warriors. 153 great fishes. He knows where the fish are. I thought about the lad, the little lad there, and they said, well, we need to send this great crowd home. There's nothing to eat. The day is late. The time is far spent. We don't have any money once again. And how are we going to feed this crowd? Jesus said, what do we have? Well, there's a little lad here, and we got some sardines and saltines. Was it 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And Jesus started distributing them and breaking it. And boy, when they got done, was there 12 baskets full. He knows where the fish are. I love Matthew 4:19. Flip over and look at it 1 second if you don't mind. It's a big deal, especially the young people. Matthew 4:19, especially the young people. I want you to look at this. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Tap them disciples on the shoulder that day, called them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Oh, dear time, let you and I not ever get moved away from the heartbeat of Christ and the heart throb of God. He came into this world to save sinners, and of whom I am chief. But young people, underline some things right there, Matthew 4:19. Follow me, and underline this, and it's, and I will. Woo! I will! If you'll just follow him, he's got it from there on. I will. I will what? I will whatever you need. Fill in the blank. Follow me, and I will. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? And then the next two words, make you. Well, the Lord could never use me because I'm not strong, talented, able, wise, sufficient, good background. Just name it, whatever. Well, God can't use me because I'm not. Well, guess what? If you'll follow him, he will make you. The little children saying, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make, I always said Snicker bars, Mars and Snicker bars, but that's my own version. Y'all stay out of my singing. Oh, my. I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. He knows where the fish are. Come back to John 21. I want to add a few little things in here. Go to verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Would you write this down, that Jesus knows where the fellers are? Now, I got a wad of preachers over here. Preachers, my first thought was to write down the word follow. I was digging in, I pulled 20 preachers off the shelf and see what they had to say about this chapter. And that little word, children, have you any meat? It was a word for sons. It was a word from my boys. Those are my boys. Woo! He knows where his boys are.
Amen.
What are you talking about, Brother Dean? Well, it's kind of like this. This was a very confusing time for them. This was a transition time. They didn't know their elbow from their earlobe. They didn't know what was going on. They wasn't sure what God. They thought the whole 3.5 years, we're heading for a revolution of the Roman Empire, and the Jews will rise in here, and we'll sit on thrones. And they didn't know what was going on these days. It was over there fishing. I don't know if they'd completely quit or if they'd just having a bad day. I don't know what was happening, but the Lord knew, and he knew right where they were.
Amen.
I want to stop and report that Lord knows. The Lord Jesus knows when you're in a confusion and a transition and you don't know what to do, and you might even be doing something he didn't even ask you to do, but he knows how to show up and say, boys, I'm here.
Amen.
He knows where we are.
Right.
Hallelujah. The Lord just brought a little story to my mind. Probably told it here before. And I did go to Thailand. And got over there, in that land of the dragon, land of the cobra. That far east, there's some special strongholds of special devils in that part of the world. That's where Cain went. You read the first part of Genesis, everything that ever left God went that way, and every enemy who ever got came from that direction. I got over there on a missions trip. Brother Lawson, probably one of the most dark, demonic, oppressed times we've ever had. I have a very strong wife. My Jennifer is a saint and a soldier. She's tougher than I am. If anybody ever has a breakdown at our house and cries like a woman, it's usually me. Please don't tell other people that. And you 1 million viewers on YouTube, keep it to yourself. Don't be telling on me. Kind of like Joe Parsons. I'll keep that secret. It's my 12 friends. They tell everybody. But even Jennifer was under Satan. Satan had been telling her I was going to die. Come up on her strong. Never going to see your husband again. Had Preston and Chloe were little babies. I mean Satan. He come on. I've never encountered such satanic business as when I went to Thailand. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Only I think it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe that's why I was up the other side of the world. And I got up 3 o'clock in the morning. And I drove out of the little town and went up in the jungle and parked under that church sign where I was preaching that week with an old missionary. A lot of Tommy Tillman's laborers was up there in the leper colonies.
Amen.
I was up there with one of his preachers in an orphanage and a church. Satan was so strong, the powers of darkness were so strong. I drove up at 3 in the morning. Little truck they had loaned me. I parked under that sign that said Hilltop Baptist Church, named after the man's church in Cleveland, Tennessee, the missionary's home church, Hilltop. I sat there and I said, oh God, the black birds of hell, the buzzards are hovering over us.
Yeah.
And I can't take it, you're going to have to help us.
Yeah.
A young pastor from North Carolina had given me a MP3 player. I did not know what that was then. I do not know what it is now. I think it's already antiquated. Is that true? The MP3 player. And he knew I didn't know how to run technology. He said, Brother Dean, there's 1,000 sermons on here. Just keep pushing this button until you hear preaching play. I sit under that sign. God, you got to help me. You got to help my little bride on the other side of the world. The Holy Ghost nudged me, reminding me, why don't you listen to some preaching? I said, how am I going to do that? He said, you know that little gadget that preacher gave you for this trip? Pull it out. 1,000 sermons. I didn't know how to select it. I didn't know how to find it. I didn't know. I just kept mashing this bigger button until I heard a preacher. It was Sammy Allen. Brother Lawson, right out of his mouth the first 3 seconds. He said, and I found out later it was a message preached somewhere in the mountains in the 70s. I mashed that button and I heard Sammy Allen's voice in the middle of Dragon Country. And he said, we're all gathered here at the Hilltop Baptist Church. I'm looking at my sign. I said, this is a magic gadget. Oh, bless the Lord. The good comforter, the Holy Ghost, moved in that truck. Said, just wanted you to know we're all right here, sir. Everything's going to be all right. Woo! How in the world can you take 1,000 sermons, and how many hours is that 1,000 hours, and push a button and it land right on the spot? And a man said, we're all gathered here at the Hilltop Baptist Church. God flooded that little cab of that truck. I got so much victory. I sped back into town, got on the international phone at the front desk, made them all figure out how I could call home. I said, sweetheart, the Lord, she's already having her own little spell. I said, the Lord just helped me. She was having her own little spell. There was a group of women come together, and somebody felt led, and they drove to the house, and they prayed with her. And while God was helping me, God started helping her. She got to shout, and she said, you're not going to die. She said, I don't even care if you do. The Lord is who I am. I said, baby, you got a little too much help from heaven. She said, all I need is the Lord. All I need is the Lord. I said, and me. She never did amend her testimony, Pastor. I said, well, okay, baby. Well, I'll be home soon. I don't care when you come home. Woo, the Lord. I said, well, I am coming soon. I am. Hallelujah. He knows where his fellers are. He knows where his children are. Amen. Let me take my glasses off so I can see. In verse 9, he knows where the fire is. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Oh my. Now this is after they had caught that big load and they drug it all to the land, and the Lord had a fire going and he had a meal going. Go ahead and write down, he knows where the food is. He had a fire burning. Church, I got to looking at this thing. There's a little fire of coals. In the last chapter of John, second chapter of Acts, there's a new fire. Flame leaping up off the top of their head. When they got full of the Holy Ghost, some of them signs and wonders, not for us, but it was for them. That fire on their head. Oh my. I thought, well, there's an old fire and there's a new fire. Old because it was coals. Been there a while. There was an old fire. And that you turn the page and there's a new fire. Can I tell you, the Lord knows where the fire is. And one of the greatest things missing in our churches, we need some old fires. We need some old saints. We need some old songs. We need some old timers. But boy, we need some new fire. I've enjoyed the youngins today, preacher. Over there singing. Boy, they were plugged in today. Woo, they were plugged in today. I was waiting on all of y'all to get over your pride and somebody to jump up and holler real good. Yeah. I think we'd all exploded. y'all would have. Dear time. New fire. Thank God he knows where the old fire is. He knows where the new fire is. What was on the fire? Two things. You got to be real careful in this hour. Let me throw this in here. We got a lot of strange fire in this hour. Charismatic business is strange fire. It's contemporary business, and all your mega churches took over. It's strange fire. Well, you better have the real fire. I was up in Kansas, and there's a special young man, preacher. He's 34 years of age, lives with his mom. He's a giant of a feller. He's probably only maybe age 10 in his thinking. Lives with his mom. He's precious, though. Loves his preachers. He loves his pastor. Calls me his evangelist. I'll show up and he'll say, "Oh, I get to see my evangelist this year." Tells me every night. He'll stand up in church. He's about 6'6", and he fixes his britches about every 10 minutes. It's just, when you get used to it, you get used to it. And, boy, he'll get down there and pray with me. He'll shout. It's a Holy Ghost church. They'll go to running and shouting. He runs right in there with them. Prays over me. When they have prayer, he likes to come down there and pray over me. He'll pray a short prayer, but it'll be the sweetest prayer. And we had a 2-week revival here not long ago. Scheduled for 1 week, and it went into a second. And it got so powerful there one night after the service. He said, "Whoo!" He said, "I got to sweating on the inside." I said, "Excuse me, let me write that down." I'm too smart to say something that profound. He said, "I'm sweating on the inside tonight." Oh, and every night he would repeat my message to me, only he'd say it better. He'd put it in one phrase and say it much better than I said it. And I'd go right down what he said. Oh, bless the Lord. You know what's on the fire here? Two things, fish and bread. You know about the only two things we need cooking in our churches? Sinners and scriptures. Fish, sinners, souls. Bread, Scripture. The bread's for us, and the sinner business is for them. There ought to be some bread cooking on the fire. We come in here, there ought to be some bread cooking. Hallelujah. Our Sunday school this morning, that fella flipped that whiteboard 17 times, scared me every time. I was in my Bible the first time and I thought somebody threw a chair up in there. Flipped the whiteboard. He was cooking. I said, "Let it cook." My teenager said, "Dad, don't say cool words." When you say cool words, we can't say them no more. I said, "Well, he was cooking." "Oh, Dad. Oh, I got news for you. He knows where the fire is." I'm going to tell you something, dear friend, what we got missing across this country. Our riches and our wealth have smothered our fire. I'm in downtown Ringgold now, preacher, where my papa was. And I remember a little boy sitting down there, sitting between Clarence Edwards and John Bell, my grandpa and an old deacon. And them old men, they had all that hair. They had more hair coming out of their ears and their nose than you could have put in a wig factory. It was very impressive. Them old men, I was a little boy sitting up looking at both of them. And old Clarence Edwards, he said, "Boy, me and your grandpa used to walk our families after World War II. We walked our families 5 miles down this valley to go to church." He said, "Now folks have got paved roads and air-conditioned automobiles and nobody can get to the house of God." Yes. Amen. Yes. The love of money is the root. Yes.
currency in church. You're rich and increased with goods. Isn't it amazing what he told that Smyrna church in Revelation 2 and 3? Isn't it amazing what he told them? For I know thy poverty. And then he put a parenthesis. But thou art rich. Treasures unseen. He knows where the fire is. Preacher, somebody said, I think it was an old black preacher from Savannah, Georgia. When Christianity started 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, it was a movement. It went to Athens, became a philosophy. That's where your Calvinism comes from. Went to Europe, became a culture. Went to Rome, became an organization. So, but when Christianity got to America, it turned into a business. And I'm full aware we have to handle our business. We have to. But honey, let's don't ever get more worked up in a business meeting than we ever could in a prayer meeting.
Amen.
I ain't preaching on it because you just had one. We've all got to have an occasion. But I had a little grumbly butts down there at my First Baptist in the 90s. And I said, if you ain't showed up for the prayer meeting, you have no voice in the business meeting. And I told him what my daddy told me. This may be too much, Pastor. I told him what my daddy told me. The men will handle the business and the women keep silence in the church. That's what my daddy said. A lot of Bible for that. And then he said, if you don't tithe, you don't open your mouth. That's what David said. And he said, if you ain't been hearing too much, don't come back. Dad said a lot of things. I don't know. He said, unless you got your back tithe. He said, God may kill half of us trying to kill you. Did I mention I grew up under some old-timey men of God? I can't get with all these pretty boys, all these spotlight microphone boys, all these selfies. My teeth are too yellow. I ain't a-whitening them. I'm going back for some more coffee. And I'm not going to Six Bucks. I'm going to McDonald's. That Irish family can make some coffee. Oh, dear neighbor. We better not turn into an American church. We better turn into a heavenly church. Amen. A Bible church. A Holy Ghost church. He knows where the fire is. Let me close with this. With four more points. That's kind of like the Antichrist offering false peace there for a minute. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you see that? In 15, 16, and 17, he knows where the flock is. They wasn't even gathered together yet. But he knows where the flock is. Go to verse 18 and underline this. He knows where your future is. Verse 18, he prophesied to Peter how he would die. When thou wast young, are y'all looking at verse 18? But when thou shalt be old. You might want to underline that. But when thou shalt be old. Now this is not going to mean much to the young people. But if there's silver and frost on your hair and decades behind you, what the young people don't understand is that the older people live oftentimes with a lot of fear, a lot of satanic attacks. They're strength is gone, their days are gone, the glory's fading. And Satan can come and whisper a lot of ugly things to older people. But I want to make a little announcement. Jesus knows the day of your appointment. You're not going to leave this world the day before or the day after. He's got an appointment. He's going to take you on that day, and he's going to take care of you right up until he takes you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But when thou shalt be old, I'm glad like lambs, Isaiah said, they shall still on my bosom be born. Thou shalt be fat and flourishing, even down to old age, the scriptures promise. This won't mean much to the young'uns, but I want to say to all the older ones here, the government can't do nothing to you. The enemy can't do nothing to you. Cancer and leukemia and car wrecks can't do nothing to you. God is providentially, sovereignly in charge of your last moment. You're going to leave just like he wants you to leave. You're going to live just like he wants you to live. William Booth, wasn't he the one over the Salvation Army? And they said his wife, Catherine Booth, was a much greater soul winner than even he. She loved all them poor people in London, the orphans and the beggars and the drunks and the harlots. She loved the poor in the slums of London. They said when she was a dying, it took several weeks to die, laid up in a deathbed, but they lined up outside and down the street to come see her and to tell her how much they loved her. They said everybody that come in to Catherine Booth laying on her deathbed, how are you doing? She said, my grace is sufficient. They said she got to where she lost her voice, and she asked them to bring in, and she wrote it out on a big little paper thing, my grace is sufficient for thee. And when they'd come in, how you doing? She'd just put her finger on my grace and wave her little hand. Hallelujah. Glory. When thou shalt be old, I got news for all of God's children. He's not going to fail you this close to home. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll tell this, I need to close. Ralph Sexton Sr., old mountain preacher, probably had Calvinistic doctrine but had gospel practices. He preached the gospel. A lot of them old mountain men would give lip service to Calvinism, but they didn't actually believe it. They preached the gospel every night somewhere. Preach a free gospel of grace. And old Ralph Sr., I got to preach a lot for a fellow, old preacher named Chris Pethel. He done went to heaven. And he was so close to Ralph Sr. that he went on vacation with him every year. Stayed up there in Asheville, North Carolina. Stayed in his house with him during their Land of the Sky Jubilee. Ralph Sr.'s been in heaven many years. And they said his wife's name was Jacqueline, just like Jacqueline Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. Sister Jacqueline. They called her Sister Jackie. Ralph Sr.'s wife. Brother Pethel told me, I'm talking about when thou shalt be old, that Ralph Sr. died and they had to put her in a nursing home. Alzheimer's had set in, and she sat down there and went for weeks and maybe even into a few months and never spoke, never acknowledged anyone was there. Brother Pethel said, he said, Brother Dean, I went down there in that rest home. Just sat down there next to her one day, and I felt so bad, horrible about how bad she was doing. Just sitting there in empty shell, staring into nothing. He said, I remember that Isaiah was her favorite book of the Bible. She called it the Little Gospel, 66th chapter. And even the division of chapter 39 in the last 27 chapters. He said, I remember it. She loved it. And by the way, she memorized it. I was in Albania the first time. And an old boy out of prison, pretty rough. So he got saved in prison. He said, I memorized Proverbs and Galatians because it's my two favorite books. What books you memorized? I said, okay, I'm not sure who needs to be a missionary.
I said, Jesus wept. Oh, the church kids. Oh, that done through me like a hot ass. He wasn't even smart enough. He thought everybody knew what I was about.
Yeah.
He said, what's your favorite place? What's your favorite place? I need a mouth around and got in my teeth and just kind of was ashamed of myself. Said, Sister Jackie memorized the book of Isaiah. He said, I got out there in the middle of that living room in that great rest home. So I started reading Isaiah. Just sat next to her, leaned up to her, started reading Isaiah. He said, well, I got to chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died,
yeah.
I saw also the Lord.
Yeah.
Sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I was not the only voice. She hadn't spoken for a few months. He sat next to me, said, she was all of a sudden looking at me and saying the words.
Amen.
Woo! When thou shalt be old. I got 3 more points, but I'm done. Let me join it a little bit. We done stuff with some hand foot. Why don't you go get spin it? Oh my. And he said when we got down to that part, the smoke filled the temple. When we got down to that part from my eyes, I've seen the king. And said when I got the holy. Holy, holy. Brother Pedro says he went to shout. Woo! Woo! He said, by this time, the nurses were coming around, got out of alarm. But they all loved her. They've known her and her husband all the years in that town. The other one had wheeled her in. He said, we had us a shout and stood up for a while. He said, I can't read my same things as you shouted a while. When thou shalt be old, he's not going to forget you.
Amen.
He's not going to forsake you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one more story since nobody asked, and then I'll let you go. My grandpa. Hallelujah. My native mama. It's bad to have that bottle and have a drunk in the house. She had to raise the family by herself. And alcohol. For the reason my generation can't get more of the Holy Ghost than the power of so many other influences. Half this medication is nonsense. Y'all know what it is. And it's horrible. You know, what they're doing to all the kids now. Horrible what they're doing. Everybody, alcohol. Then young men, the thing that's on the computers and on the phone, right there on the phone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Your own dopamine pumping through your brain and these devils pumping through that.
Yeah.
Right. I tell you something, you better get full of the Holy Ghost and not let any other addiction have an influence or control.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
My little grandma, she picked the cotton, walked the dirt roads, worked in them quill factories, carpet factories in Dalton, Georgia. Both of her sons made preachers. Most of her grandsons made preachers. Her daughters made shouters and singers and prayer warriors. What about that? Walked with God. The sheriff up on the hill, a nice man, came 2 years later and offered to bury him. She could have died wealthy and lived comfortably. She said, I think I just want to say with Jesus and pray for all time. He is the grandkid. She was old fat.
Yep.
Lester Flatt. Lester Flatt on the scrubs. He's made honky-tonk music with her brothers. He come along and propose to her more than once in his life.
Tell him what he gets.
Yeah.
Don't be nasty. Don't get the house on the hill. See, I got to pray for my kids, my grandkids. Might be what I'm saying. She got down in her dying days, and our cousin Mitz had put up a little, apartment house behind their house. And we all pitched in, and that's where she, Alzheimer's came, we think. And all she did the last few weeks was put on dresses and coats. She just kept putting on dresses and coats. What are you doing, Grandma? They say. She said, I'm getting ready to go to the meeting. I'm going to church. I'm going to the meeting. Okay. And they get all that off of her, you know, down to her dress. Go back to the pub. She had more dresses and coats. What are you doing? I want to go to the meeting. They had a little baby monitor out there where they can listen. One night, in the middle of the night, she got in the driveway and Mitch heard, you know, heard. He got out of there. This time, she got in the driveway. I'm glad I got a heritage.
Yeah.
I'm a bear. Mitch come out there. He's 6'2", black hair, there, and strong thing. She said, Grandma, what are you doing after? She said, oh, son, we're all here for the meeting. It was a little different that night. He just stood there. She said, there's Mama. There's Papa. She said, and she didn't know who he was. Young man, did you see him? She knew who that was. She said, there's the Lord Jesus, son. He's wanting me to come over. Well, much later that year, she did. Put it off that track. Headed on over. One hour old. I'll never leave
him.
No, for sure. Like lamb, they should sleep. On my bosom. I'm trying to hush, but I'm not trying hard. Paige Jackson, we mentioned him at once today. Got a preacher friend up Virginia, and he said my grandmother, it hurt my feelings when I was a little boy. She didn't know none of us. Grandpa died of that fever. She didn't know any of us. Reminded of that. Old Maze Jackson over in Atlanta, Georgia, preaching. They came walking in the south, but I'll hear you. And I'll send my brother Maze. Woo! When you get closer to home, eternal things.
Yeah, I do.
Come into
the night.
Light lamb, they shall steal. I'm not those of the Lord. First, you're going to ask one of the young ladies that sang today. Her mother sang.
Sure.
I don't know who she is. But she's the one of them. One of them sang this song. One of them sang tonight. Folks, ask them to sing. Some of y'all want to get in this altar and let's pray for some lost loved ones before it's too late. Go and get some fish on this fire. There's a lot of bread on the fire around here, preacher. A lot of bread on the fire.
Yes, man.
Let's put more sinners on the fire. Let's get those sinners on the fire. I see your prayer list today. Let's all stand, make it easy to move around. Let's call on God for a little time. Ask the Lord.
nations lose their power when thou art not. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to
that that happened, and it has been good. Yes, sir. If you leave out of here empty tonight, it's your own fault. That's all I know to say. That was good. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes you don't need to say anything. You thank the good Lord for who he is. You know him. You come before him. I don't know how many times I go in the prayer closet, shut the door, and don't say a word. I just listen to God. Amen. Just listen to him. Yeah, just listen to him. Thank you, brother. Thank you for pouring your soul out to us tonight. Amen. Amen.